Acts 11, verse 19, it says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled together, or they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." I want to call your attention to that last statement there. It says, "And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." This is the first time that the term that we use to identify ourselves, this is the first time that it was ever used. Now, the church was already several years in existence at this point, but this is the first time that the term Christian was used. It says this is, so it's the first time they were called different things before that, but this is the first time that they were called Christians. So I'm beginning a series today entitled, "What is a Christian?" What is a, somebody says, "Well, Pastor David, well, we know that. Everybody knows what that is. Well, what is a Christian? What is it? What does the Bible say a Christian is?" And you know that with everything that's going on in our world and in our society today, you know, even the definition of what a Christian is would tend to be modified and changed. So we need to go back to the Bible, and we need to see what the Bible says a Christian is. Amen? Hallelujah. And you need to make sure that you is one. Hallelujah. Amen? And hold your place in Acts because we're coming back there. But in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, out of the Message, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. You know, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we drift along taking things for granted, don't we? Amen? Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. So that's what we're going to do in this series. Somebody said we need to take a checkup from the neck up. This is actually going to be a checkup. It doesn't rhyme, but a checkup from the heart up. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. It will include from the neck up, amen, our thinking, but it will include our heart too. He says, test yourselves and make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence. Hallelujah. Somebody once said, if being a Christian was a crime, and we're moving closer to that day. Hello? Well, I don't want to hear that doom and gloom. Well, I'm just telling you the truth of what we're facing, of what's happening in our world today and even in our nation. You know, it came out, you know, just this past week in the United States military. I don't know if you heard about that, but if you stand up for Jesus Christ and even attempt to share your faith, you face court-martial. You face disciplinary action for sharing your faith. And so, you know, hopefully that they're going to get that straightened out to where Christians will still be able to, because our military needs a solid Christian influence. Absolutely. Amen. So we need to pray about that. But somebody once said, if being a Christian was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And so let's look at this. Let's test ourselves and let's see what it means. What does the Bible say a Christian is? Praise God. Well, it was first used here in this city of Antioch. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, it says. Now, in this city, in Antioch, there had been a great movement of God. There'd been a great work of God in Antioch. If you go back what the verses we read from the opening passage this morning, in verse 20 it says that there were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene that came to Antioch, and they spoke to the Hellenists. Those were Greeks. It says, preaching the Lord Jesus, and it says the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. It said a great number of people in that city of Antioch believed and they turned to the Lord. Praise God. In verse 24, it says that when Barnabas had come down, it says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. After he got there, the revival just continued even more, and it says a great many people were added to the Lord. And so then verse 26, it says, so it was that for a whole year, this is when Paul came, it says, so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. So there was a great move of God taking place in Antioch. Hallelujah. And in these verses that we just read too, we begin to get a picture of actually what it means to be a Christian. Number one, it says that the people, a great number, believed and turned to the Lord. So that's number one. That's number one of what it means to be a Christian. It means to believe and it means to turn to the Lord. Now that indicates repentance, and we're going to get more into that in a moment. But they believed and they turned to the Lord. So to be a Christian, number one, you have to believe and you have to turn to the Lord. Amen. The second thing it says, when Barnabas came, it says in verse 24, a great many people were added to the Lord. So a Christian is someone who has been added to the Lord. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. They've been added to the Lord. And then thirdly, and this has already been mentioned this morning, Pastor Carl prayed it out in pre-service prayer. Then Rachel mentioned this. And I think it's amazing how the Holy Spirit confirms things. But the third thing that happened was this. They didn't just run off with their ticket to heaven. Oh, I'm a Christian now. I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm just going to go about my merry way, live my life, and you know, I'll go to heaven one day. No, it says that they allowed themselves to be taught the Word of God. That Paul, when Paul came, and Paul and Barnabas there, it says they assembled together for a whole year and taught a great many people. So these people that had believed and turned to the Lord and were added to the Lord, then they began to be taught the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's look at these three things here. Number one that we said was believe and turn to the Lord. What does it mean? What is a Christian? Who is a Christian? Someone who believes and turns to the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 with me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So this passage here, Paul lists and he enunciates the basics, the foundations of what it means to be a Christian. And he lists several, I think six different points here. And he says, we're not going to lay it. He rehearses those. He says, but now we want to go on and we want to talk about some other things. But he has laid the foundation. So what we're going to do is go back and look at the foundation. And the first thing that he mentions among the elementary principles of Christ, among the elementary things that it means to be a Christian, the first thing that he mentions is this. He says, repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Repentance from and faith toward. I like that. Hallelujah. We repent from and we exercise faith toward. Amen. To repent actually means to change your mind and change your direction. In other words, you've been going this direction. You've been living your life, but you turn to the Lord. That means you repent. That means you make a change of mind. That means you say, you know, the way that I've been going was wrong. The way that I've been going, the Bible says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way is the way of death and destruction. And I've been on that path. I'm turning away from that path, and I'm turning to the Lord. Repentance from dead works from acts that lead to death, one translation says. Well, the wages of sin is death, so it's repentance from sin, repentance from and faith toward God. Hallelujah. To repent and believe. To repent and believe. Amen. Repentance is necessary. Amen. I said repentance is necessary. To turn from sin and to turn toward God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we repent, we turn from our sin. That's a decision, isn't it? And then we exercise faith toward God. In Luke 24, verse 46, Jesus is speaking to his disciples after his resurrection, and he tells them about the message that they are to go and preach and to proclaim about his resurrection and how that can bring salvation and eternal life to everyone that they go and preach it to. He says to them in verse 46 of Luke 24, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Verse 47, look at this now. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." What were they to preach? Repentance. Hey, turn from the direction that you're going and turn to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, in fact, himself preached that. If you read, I think it's in the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus, when he began his ministry, Jesus came preaching saying, "Repent and believe the good news." Amen. Repent and believe the good news. So it's repentance from and faith, repentance from sin, repentance from dead works, repentance from the direction we were going, and faith toward God. That step has to be taken for a person to be a Christian. Hello? Amen. In the book of Acts, in chapter 17, we find that the Apostle Paul lands in the city of Athens to preach there and to tell people about Jesus there. And he sees, the Bible says that he observes in the city of Athens that all the city is full of idols. That he's full of idols. And so he's preaching, and in fact, he finds one idol that says, "To the unknown God." To the unknown God. And so Paul uses that as a springboard and about this unknown God. And he says, this unknown God, he says, "Let me tell you about him. He has a name." Hallelujah. And so in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, as he's talking about this, telling them about what they knew as the unknown God, in verse 30 of Acts 17, this is out of the New Living Translation, "God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now," everybody say, "but now." "But now he commands everyone," excuse me, "he commands everyone to repent of their sins and turn to him." Amen. "He commands everyone everywhere," not just everyone, but everyone everywhere. Would that include us? Amen. Would that include Cumming, Georgia? Would that include the United States? He commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. Why? "For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead." Well, that would be Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God proved that God gave proof to everybody that this is the one he's going to judge the world by. And he said, and the way he did it was by raising him from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is alive. Jesus is raised from the dead. And God commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. To turn from the way and the road they're going on and say, "God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I need a Savior. I need to be forgiven. Jesus is that Savior. I call on the name of Jesus." And when you're in Jesus and when you've called on the name of Jesus, then on that day when he judges the world, he's going to judge the world by righteousness. If you're in Jesus, you're in good shape on that day.
Amen.
I said, if you're in Jesus, then you'll be in good shape on that day. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And so along with repentance, we've talked about the repentance side, but then there's a believing side. Amen. Repentance from and faith toward. Here's the believing side. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, it says this, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness." How does that righteousness come? To everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. Well, we can't manufacture righteousness. We can't earn righteousness. We believe and we're made right. We repent of our sin and we believe in what God did through Jesus. And in believing that, we are made righteous. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Romans, going down to verse 8 of Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of faith. Here it is. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, do what? Believe. Believe. And believe in your heart, believe what? That God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we repent from our sins, we turn toward God in faith, and we receive salvation through believing, accompanied by confessing, saying with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, the confession that he's talking about here, he's not talking about confession of sin. Right, right. Somebody said, well, Pastor, does a person have to confess every one of their sins in order to be saved? I don't know that anybody could remember all of them. No, the Bible just says to repent, to turn from sin, to turn from your mindset and life of sin, and to say, this way that I'm going on is destructive. It's going to destroy me. It's going to bring eternal destruction if I stay on this path. I turn from that, and I turn to God, and I exercise faith in God. Hallelujah. And I exercise faith in the fact that he sent a Savior, that he made a provision to deliver me and to set me free from my sin, and I turn from my sin and I turn to him and I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how you become a Christian. Amen. Hello? Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible talks about, he said here the second point that we mentioned, it says they were added to the Lord. They were added to the Lord. It says a great many people were added to the Lord. Well, I don't think that was just on somebody's written roll somewhere. I think that that happened in the realm of the Spirit. They were added to the Lord. Amen. They didn't just get their name put on a church roster somewhere. Amen. They were added to the Lord. Added to the Lord. Well, the scripture talks about that. To be added to the Lord, what that means is we become one with him. We become a part of his body. A Christian is someone who has been added to the Lord. Someone who has become one with Jesus Christ. Someone who has been added into the body of Christ. Like we were talking about earlier in communion. We are connected together. We are one in the body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says this, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Notice this, as the body is one, has many members, and it's like your human body, it's one body, but there's many members, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. And so he says, and so also is Christ. That's who Jesus is. That's who Christ is. And he says, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, he's not talking about water baptism here. He's talking about the Holy Spirit placing you into, immersing you into the body of Christ. This is what's happened in the realm of the Spirit. Although water baptism is a reflection of the spiritual reality. But what he's talking about here is by the Holy Spirit, we've been placed into the body of Christ. Praise God. Amen. And it doesn't matter what our natural background is. Amen. When we've all been made to drink into one spirit. Praise God. So a Christian is someone who's been added to the Lord. A Christian is someone who has been placed into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That's why we can proclaim with boldness and with joy, I am in Christ. Amen. I am in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The Message, I like the way The Message reads. I think the compiler of the Message Bible, I think he gets waxes a little commentaritatively here. That's sure that's not a word. There's a little bit of more commentary than just translation in this, but it's good commentary. So I want to read you verse 13 out of the Message. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. That's what it means when you say Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. How about Christian? How about Christian for that label?
Amen.
Christ, the Anointed One. Mm-hmm. I am in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am a Christian. Praise God. So being a Christian, one who is a Christian is someone who has been placed into the body of Christ, someone who has been added to the Lord. When you repent and believe and call on the name of the Lord, instantly by the Holy Spirit, you are placed into the body of Christ. You are added to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then, and this we'll just mention this because we don't have time to get into it today. Being a Christian means being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Notice it says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And the term disciple is really one of the most predominant terms that's used to describe what we call a Christian today. The most predominant word, and as you read through the book of Acts, is the term disciple. Disciple. So a Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk next week about what all that means. All right? I know next week is Mother's Day and we'll honor the mothers, but we'll also talk about what a disciple is.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Being a Christian is not a matter of birth or of culture. You know, some people assume, some people in this country, and maybe it's a good thing, and it can get what the devil means for bad can turn into a positive thing in our nation. Because I think that's less and less of the attitude now. But you know, years ago, generations ago in this country, a lot of people assumed that they were a Christian simply because they were born in America, and America, you know, is a Christian country. Or they're raised in a Christian culture. Well, what are you? Well, I guess I must be a Christian because I was born in America and I'm raised in this Christian culture. No, being a Christian is not a matter of birth. It's not a matter of culture, but it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a decision leading to a rebirth. Being a Christian is not a matter of birth, but it is a choice, a decision that leads to a rebirth. Hallelujah. Amen. That's great to be born into a Christian home. It's great to be raised to know Jesus from birth. But being a Christian means that we each make a choice personally to repent, to believe, and to follow Him. Amen. That's what it means to be a Christian. You make a choice to repent, to believe, and to follow Him. Amen. Look at Acts 26, verse 28 and 29. Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Agrippa was the king of the Jews at that time, and Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea. And he had an audience. The Roman governor at the time had asked King Agrippa to come. He said, "I don't know what to do with this guy Paul. We don't really have anything, any real grounds or reason to hold him, you know, or to keep him here. And yet I don't know if I should let him go. I don't know what I should do with him. He's appealed to Caesar. Should I send him on to Caesar? Should I release him? What should I do? Agrippa, would you come and hear him out?" And so Paul begins to talk in this public audience here with King Agrippa and his wife present, and begins to talk to them about what it means to be a Christian, about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, about what it means to have life in Jesus Christ. And Agrippa makes this statement, and he said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." Glory to God. Boy, I like that. Boy, Paul knew what he had. It was real to him. And he said, "You know, I want everybody to have this."
Amen.
We need to, in us ought to be so real. Amen. The life of God in us ought to be so real. And we ought to be as contagious with it as Paul was, where we would say, "I want everybody to have what I've got."
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He said, "Except for these chains." I don't want you to have these chains, but I want you to have what I got on the inside. Amen. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So Agrippa, it says here, he was almost persuaded. Almost. But we used to sing an old hymn. Almost persuaded. Boy, we sang it as a dirge too, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It was a dreadful. Well, it was kind of a heavy thing. I mean, you're almost persuaded, but you know, you didn't follow through, then that is kind of a sad place, isn't it? So we have to move from almost to altogether.
Amen.
I said we have to move from almost. If a person is a Christian, you know, it's unfortunate, and I don't follow trends, so I can't speak with really a lot of authority about what's going on, but it seems to me that, do you hear people talking about, "Well, come to our church and join in the conversation. You know, we're here and we're just on a, come and join us, fellow seekers. We're kind of all stumbling along through life and trying to find our way and, you know, whatever works for us spiritually, and let's join in the conversation." There's no conversation. It's already been, the answer's already here. It's a proclamation, not a conversation.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Paul preached the gospel. He didn't say, you know, let's have a conversation. Now, you, of course, you meet people where they're at, and you look for an opening like Paul did. He said, you worship the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. But he proclaimed the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we've got to move from almost to altogether. Amen. You're not a Christian if you're almost. Amen.
Yep.
You're only a Christian if you're all together.
Right.
And I don't mean you've got it all together. I don't mean it by that. Mm-hmm. But we have to move from almost to all together. Or we can say it this way. Here's a term that we understand today. All in. I'm all in. How about you? Are you all in? Amen. That's what the all together means. That's what Paul meant when he said all together. Not just almost, but all together. Not just, well, I might test this out here. I'm going to dip my, you know, put my toes in the water here. No. All in. Dive in.
Amen.
Amen. I'm all in. All together. Praise God. Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and all together, such as I am." Amen. Hallelujah. All in. All in. So what is the decision? What are you all in about? What was Paul calling Agrippa and those that heard him that day to be all in about? I'm all in on the fact that I'm separated from God because of my sin and I need a Savior. I'm all in on that reality. Amen. I can't save myself. There is such a thing as sin. and it's infected my life, and I need a Savior. I'm all in on that account. Amen? How about you? Are you all in on that? Some people aren't. I'm not talking about in this room, but some people aren't. Oh, well, I don't talk about sin. You know, there are people, we don't need to repent of anything. No, you need to be all in on the fact that, hey, I need a Savior. Amen. I've sinned and I need a Savior. Amen. Amen? I'm all in that Jesus Christ is that Savior and He is the only way to God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So I'm all in on that. How about you? Are you all in Amen. That Jesus Christ is that Savior and that He's the only way to God? Amen. Are you all in that when you repent and believe that you're saved, that you're born again, and you're made a new creation? You need to be all in on that reality because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says about it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, everybody say in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. There is a supernatural change that takes place in your life. The new birth is a reality. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is a spiritual reality. It takes place right on the inside of you, in the very core of your being. That's the new birth. Any man that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Where? Right on in the core of your being, in your spirit. Amen? Amen. Being a Christian, you're not just accepting a certain philosophy to live by, but you're receiving the life and the nature of God. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who has received the very life and the nature of God on the inside of them. Amen. John 10:10, Jesus said this. He said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But then he tells us why he came. He said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come just to give us a philosophy to live by, just a set of rules and instructions to live by. He came to give us life.
Amen.
He came to put something in us to empower us to live. Amen? Amen. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, eternal life doesn't start when you die and you go to heaven. You know when eternal life starts in you and in me? It starts in us at the moment that we repent and turn to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, eternal life, the life of God, is deposited then into your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Eternal life starts from that moment. Amen?
Amen.
It starts at that place. The Greek word is zoe. Hallelujah. It's the God kind of life, the life of God. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. He came that we might have life. Well, He accomplished His purpose, didn't He? Hallelujah. And when we receive Him, we receive life and life more abundantly. That's what it means. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is one who's received the life of God and then has in them the capacity through that life to live an abundant life. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. That's who you are. I said, that's who you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your word today. And Father, I pray, Your word does say to examine ourselves and to make sure that we're solid in the faith. Lord, You said not to drift along and take everything for granted, but to give ourselves regular checkups. And Lord, we're doing that today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray right now, if there are those that are here or those that might be listening to this message, Father God, and they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life. They've thought they were a Christian because they've kind of been around it and they've heard the terms and they've adopted the terms, but they've never really done what Your word says here, to repent and to turn to You in faith and believe. So, Father, I pray right now, if there are those here that would say, you know, I'm not really sure. I've never really made Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to do that. If you're here today, I want to pray for you. Is there anyone here you'd say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. By raising your hand, you'd say, you know, I want to be sure. I want to know that I'm a real Christian. Hallelujah. I want to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I want to be sure of that. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Pastor, pray for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. Looking all around the room, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. One other invitation this morning, you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I know that I've been saved, but I've strayed away from God. I've been away from God. I'm coming back home. And obviously you are, or you wouldn't be in church today. You've made steps to return back to God. So if that's you, if that's your situation, I want to pray for you and pray with you to complete that process of coming back home to your Heavenly Father, of coming back home to Father's house. You're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, I've been away from God. I've been out of fellowship with him, but today I'm coming home. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, raise your hand. Hold it up high. Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray a blessing on your people today. I thank you, Father God, and I praise you that, Lord, that we will, this week, that we will walk and live as Christians, empowered by your Spirit, empowered by your grace. Hallelujah. That you'll work in us and through our lives, demonstrate to all those around us what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean that we have everything all together. It doesn't mean that we don't have problems or difficulties or face tests and trials. But Lord, it means that we've made a decision that we're going to follow you. We've made a decision that you are the way and the truth and the life, and that we hold on to you with all our hearts. Father, we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.